Okay, let's think about maybe the ultimate catastrophic scenario, nuclear war.
Right.
But it's not just about the immediate, the blast, the flash,
No, not just the initial shock and awe.
or that first wave of devastation. Today we're doing a deep dive into something, well, longer lasting.
Exactly. The far-reaching environmental consequences, the ripples.
And our guide for this is a pretty major report, right?
Yes, the 2025 National Academies of Sciences, Engineering, and Medicine NOSM report. It's called Potential Environmental Effects of Nuclear War.
Okay.
And it's really crucial because it's a modern look. Almost 40 years after the original nuclear winter ideas first came out.
So much has changed since then, science included.
Absolutely. The world's different. Our understanding is deeper. So our mission here is to unpack its key findings,
What it maps out, the uncertainties.
especially that causal pathway it describes and, yeah, the really profound uncertainties it points to.
And it feels like this report shifts how we even imagine a nuclear conflict. It's not just the Cold War scale anymore.
Definitely. We're moving beyond those scenarios of, tens of thousands of warheads, massive megatonnage.
So, what's the new focus?
Well, the report talks about the democratization of existential risk. That's a key phrase.
Democratization,
And
meaning.
even a, quote, small-scale regional exchange. Maybe just 150 warheads, less than 1% of the global arsenal.
Tiny, relatively speaking.
Right. But it could still trigger a global famine. That completely changes the strategic picture. It's not just a superpower problem.
Okay, this is where it gets really interesting. The whole catastrophe hinges on smoke.
Smoke, exactly.
Yeah.
But the report is very clear. The source term,
Meaning.
the initial amount and type of smoke produced. That's the single biggest uncertainty in the whole chain of events.
Why is it so uncertain?
Well, we don't really know precisely what burns in a modern city firestorm, and crucially, what kind of smoke, how much soot is generated.
Oh.
Older studies assumed really high levels of black carbon,
Yeah.
the stuff that absorbs sunlight, maybe 20 grams per kilo of fuel.
But reality.
Real-world data, like from big structural fires, suggests it's closer to 8 grams per kilo. That difference is huge for the climate impact.
So, does that mean nuclear winter is still just the theory? Or have we seen proof?
That's a great question. The NASEM report basically says the mechanism isn't theoretical anymore. We have real-world examples.
Like what?
Think about the huge Australian wildfires in 2019-2020. They pumped about 1.1 teragrams, that's over 1 million tons of smoke, straight into the stratosphere.
Wow, directly up there.
Directly. And even more amazing, the smoke cloud actually heated itself and lifted higher, from around 14 kilometers up to over 30 kilometers.
So it proves the physics works. Smoke can get up there and stay there.
It provides really strong empirical validation, yeah. The basic process is real.
Okay, so smoke gets high up, blocks the sun, cools things down, but there's another punch, right? Something often missed.
There is a devastating one. The report details a massive hit to the ozone layer.
How does smoke affect ozone?
That smoke layer heats the stratosphere dramatically, maybe by over 50 degrees Celsius. And that heat massively accelerates the chemical reactions that destroy ozone.
How bad could it get?
A large exchange could cause something like a 75% loss of the ozone layer globally on average.
75%.
Yeah, so you get this initial phase of cold and dark from the smoke,
Right.
followed by what they call a UV summer once the smoke clears a bit, letting through incredibly intense DNA damaging ultraviolet radiation.
Cold and dark, then blasted by UV.
Mm.
So, stepping back, what's the bottom line for, human survival in all this?
Well, the report really emphasizes something critical. The main global catastrophe isn't actually freezing to death.
It isn't.
No, it's famine, mass starvation.
Because of the cold.
Partly, but more because our global food system is so interconnected and, frankly, fragile. Even a regional war disrupting agriculture in just a few key breadbasket nations.
Like the U.S. Midwest or Ukraine.
Exactly, places like that.
Yeah.
Disrupting them could cause a global shortage of calories lasting over a decade.
Putting billions at risk, regardless of whether it gets super cold where they live.
Precisely. It's about the food chains breaking down globally.
And one more thing. Our climate models, they're mostly built to understand global warming, right?
That's a major point, yeah.
So how well can they predict this kind of sudden, intense cooling?
They struggle. The report calls it an epistemic mismatch. Our agricultural models, ecosystem models, They weren't designed for this kind of abrupt, severe shock.
They're outside their comfort zone, basically.
They're outside, which means the actual biological devastation, the collapse of ecosystems and agriculture, could potentially be even worse than the models currently predict.
So wrapping this up, the 2025 NISAM report isn't really painting a picture of, like, apocalyptic certainty. It's more like a map of profound and interconnected uncertainties.
Exactly. A scientifically sober look at these compounding risks. It really highlights that the biggest dangers might be in these areas we poorly understand. Fire dynamics, food systems, societal fragility.
And maybe the key takeaway for you listening is...
Well, it raises a question, I think. Even with all our science, maybe especially because we see the complexities, what vulnerabilities does this reveal about our interconnected world? Things you hadn't considered. It just reinforces that preventing any nuclear conflict has to remain the absolute top priority.